Welcome to the Branded Career Podcast, where we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to become a leader in your industry. Building a career is tough. You show up to work doing your best, but something is keeping you stuck from having a seat at the table. I'm your host, Melissa Fleury, and on this show, we're talking all things career, business, leadership, and personal development. So if you're tired of being overlooked for opportunities, or maybe you've realized you're not living up to your highest potential, tune in. If you've ever struggled with time management, then you definitely want to tune into today's episode. I am speaking with time management strategist, Kelly Nolan. Kelly Nolan is an attorney turned time management strategist. She helps professional working women manage it all, both personal and professional, with less stress using realistic time management strategies. Her work has been featured in Bloomberg Businessweek, and her work has appeared in Forbes, Fast Company, and Parents. More importantly, women describe her work as helping them feel lighter, like they're able to accomplish more, and actually enjoy their time off. So without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. If you have been struggling with managing your time, if you've been struggling with just figuring out your life in corporate, with family, personal stuff, I have a really good guest for you, and her name is Kelly Nolan. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yes, I am excited to get into this conversation. So let me give you all a little bit of background with me and Kelly. It's just one of those relationships where it just clicked. We talked on IG, then we took it over to Zoom, and we realized we could definitely help each other, especially with our audiences. So that is just the power of social media when you use it to your benefit. Kelly, why don't you introduce yourself and tell my audience who you are and what you do?
Yeah, well, first of all, I did reach out to you, so thanks for being my friend.
Oh, of course. Now you can't get rid of me.
So my name's Kelly Nolan. I was an attorney. I was a patent litigator for over 5 years. I struggled with time management on my own and figured out a system that worked for me over time. And then over time, realized I had not been alone in that struggle and that others were interested in learning it. And so that's now what I do. I work with busy professional women on how to get it all done in your personal life and your professional life with a whole lot less stress and more calm clarity, using just realistic time management strategies designed for working women.
Got it. When did you realize time management was a skill that was a gift for you, especially with being a litigator? I imagine you're busy all the time.
You're busy all the time, and deadlines are everything in that world. So actually, I'd been decently organized through law school, but when I became an actual attorney, I got really overwhelmed. So it's definitely not a natural gift for me. I struggled with it for a while, and it was a new unwelcome feeling. I'd been decently organized until then, and I suddenly was felt just always anxious I was going to drop a ball. And I think on the outside, I looked like I had it together, but I just felt stretched too thin, just constantly anxious. And I looked for a lot of help out there, but candidly, a lot of it is by men, and that kind of assume a level of support at home that I did not have as a single woman at the time. Also, what I've seen since then by working with a lot of other women, married women and stuff, the double whammy is they don't have the support and they're providing the support at home. And so a lot of these methods out there just weren't clicking for me. They didn't last long. They made me feel worse about myself because these tried and true methods weren't working for me.
Yeah.
And so slowly, painfully over time, I developed a method that did work for me. And I had felt very alone at the time. I felt like everyone else had this how to adult memo that I just didn't get. Then the more I talked to other women, though, I realized, oh no, this is something that a lot of women struggle with. And that now I teach that method that I just kind of discovered through trial and error.
Let's talk about this method, because I was reading your Bloomberg article and your method is called the Bright Method.
Yes, that's correct.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Basically, what I realized over time is that a lot of us were taught to use a calendar to keep track of, in middle school, your classes and maybe your sports or something. And then you have to-do lists for your tasks. And then as you get more senior and experienced in a career, you might have a project management tool, but you have all these to-do lists and post-it notes and email inbox is a whole nother to-do list. And all in all, we just keep our action items in so many different places.
Yeah.
And so when we don't have a clear view of everything on our plate in like one easy, clear visual place, we definitely don't have a clear view of how we're going to get it all done. And definitely if we can get it all done, and especially if we take a break tonight, can we get it all done? And that uncertainty I discovered was really the source of my stress, is like that nagging concern of like, even if I know all the projects I'm on, like, am I on top of all the little pieces? What if I forget to do something? Is it possible to get it all done? Can I still see friends tonight? And so my method is really aimed at trying to bring it all together in one place so that you can see everything on your plate, personal and professional, in one spot. And not only that, just to like let the cat out of the bag, I'm a huge fan of a digital calendar for this purpose. I think that everything comes back to time. So we need to use a tool designed to manage time. And as much as I loved paper planners, I just think digital calendars really are where it's at in terms of the benefits they can give you. And so by using a digital calendar, we can see how everything in our life comes together. And not only that, how it can get done over time, not just like today, this to-do list, but okay, if I don't do this today, I can find and protect time for it tomorrow or next week and have that peace of mind of like, I don't have to do it right now. And that is a huge breakthrough of that feeling of I don't have to do it right now, so I can turn off productive mode and actually relax. That's really the magic that I try and help my clients with.
Let me ask you a question about that, because I know personally for me, you were like, it's almost as if you were over my shoulder and speaking into my life. Like, I have post-it notes everywhere. I have planners that I buy and I might write into it about a week or two. So they're like blank for half the year. I guess my question with you is like, how do you manage clients who like have this feeling of just guilt? You know, I have all this stuff to do and I just don't know how to get it done. Like, and I just rather than just not do anything.
The first thing I always like to acknowledge is that it is totally understandable that we're all overwhelmed, or that like adult life overwhelms us as women. I was talking to a friend who's a therapist and she's like, there's never been a time where there's more expected of women. And like, there have been harder times in the past, of course, in terms of rights and oppression for women. But this whole like, we can have it all, it brings with it the pressure to do it all. And we're like charged with being awesome professionals and being responsive on email, but also like taking care of ourselves and working out and getting food on the table for your family and managing a family. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on, like walking the dog, like all those things. They're all expected of us and they all come back to time and they eat away at our very limited resource of time. And so I don't think it's a surprise that we feel overwhelmed. And so I like to just share with people that, because I know I'd felt so alone when I felt that way. And like, first of all, I work with dozens of women on this now, like, and very accomplished, successful women. That's the beauty of getting to do this work, is I see how common it is. And I wanted to like shout it from the rooftops for everyone that there is no shame in feeling that way, is the first thing I just always want to say. And then I also like to say that it doesn't have to feel that way. Like, I think there's this whole like, oh, adulting sucks. And like, this is hard to be an adult. And it is hard to be an adult. I'm not saying like, it'll all be rainbows and unicorns after this, but it's okay. It doesn't have to feel that way. Life doesn't have to feel so overwhelming, and we can actually try and enjoy our life. And that's what I try and help women with, really, truly protecting and carving out time to help you enjoy your life, whatever that looks like for you.
Mm-hmm. So as you're going through your Bright method or just your programming and your coaching, what are some common mental blocks you see your clients have when trying to implement this into their lifestyles?
Well, the first one, it really relates more to women who, before I work with them, before they commit to working, is that kind of understanding of like, it doesn't have to be this way. Like, I think that there's a mental narrative we tell ourselves that this is just what adulting is. And so we've already talked about that, so I won't go into it, but it is like, you know, having the hope and keeping an open mind that it can be different. I teach in a group program, and candidly, I got forced into doing a group program during COVID from one-on-one coaching. And it's been magical because you get to see the other accomplished women. I can tell you all day long, like a lot of women feel this way. But when you talk to 20 other women who are in big like roles, whether they're in like a college, university or a corporation or lawyers or physicians, and they're talking about this too, you're like, oh, I can remove this self-judgment because a lot of women feel this way.
Yeah.
So that's really powerful. I like to help people on that side, is like to see that it's normal, but, and then also see that it is possible to feel different. And the best, most powerful way I can describe that is just having other women attest to it, because I think we've all gotten really skeptical about time management because we've read so many things and tried so many different things that don't work. And so it's always hard to like keep an open mind to something that like really could be powerful for you.
Yeah. As you were speaking, something came to mind. I think that a lot of people or a lot of women come into time management thinking that it's going to help them be perfect. And I'm realizing that time management is not about perfection. You don't get a gold star because a lot of us are achievement-based. We want to feel like we're the best. We've done it all. We followed all the rules, checked all the boxes. But I think the beauty of time management is that it allows you to be yourself and to give you grace for what works for you. And a lot of us don't realize or don't even know what works for us because we're too busy, I would say, for lack of better words, conforming to everyone else's standards of what's required of us.
I couldn't agree more. I think there is a front-end frustration to some of the work I do with clients where they want to be able to do more. But when they plot it all out visually and understand how long things take, there is an initial frustration of like, but I want to do more. If it can't fit in your calendar, it objectively is impossible to try and do more. And that, as I said, it's frustrating, but there is a big release if you can work through that of giving yourself grace of seeing like, okay, I cannot do all the things I've been trying to do. So let me get really creative and strategic on what can I get off my plate? What can I say no to? How do I hold my boundaries better? We have a lot of conversations about boundaries. And I love that. And then also what you were saying, Melissa, is when you see that you can't do it all, really for reflecting on what do I want my life to look like? Like, what are my values? I'm not saying like your hours should reflect your values like every 24 hours, but over time, how do we get you to a place where you're living a life in alignment with your values and what's important to you? Knowing that you can't get it all done, you can't please everyone all the time. So how do we make sure that at the core, your time is being spent in a way that aligns with what you want out of life?
Yeah. And something that I love about your method is that you talk about putting in personal time. So things such as rest. So all the women that are like, I don't need to sleep. I can do it. Can you talk about why it's so important to schedule in your personal time?
Yeah. This is one that's so funny because it grated even to get like against me in the beginning. I think I was even starting my business and I'm like, I don't want to put my like walking my dog in my calendar. Like I'm the one teaching this. And I'm like, that feels weird. You realize that when there is white space in your calendar, especially if you're like a type A, productive, accomplished woman, which I think a lot of your listeners are, it's very tempting to want to like be productive with that time and like give it away, or at least, or maybe even be social. Like someone gives you an invite, you see the white space, you're like, yep, I'm free. You protect your time in a visual way of, no, I just want to like relax tonight. Or I even want to have like 4 hours of unstructured time this weekend so that I don't pack my day with like meal planning and activities so that I actually recharge. It feels unnatural in the beginning, definitely feels odd. And like, I fully acknowledge that, but you're more apt to protect the time. And even if you decide to give it away, like you get an awesome invite to do something fun, you have more ownership on that decision. It's a more informed decision than just like giving all your time away and trying to find free time in your like leftovers.
Yeah.
You own it more. You have more control of your time. And it is weird. I had a client, I think it was last week, reach out and she's like, you told me to protect unstructured time and like relaxing time. And I did not do it. I was like, I don't need to do that. She's like, but what would happen is I would pack my weekends with all these things. I wouldn't get to any of them because I was overwhelmed and like I needed a break. And she's like, by getting realistic of protecting those 4 hours of time that I just wanted to like putter around my apartment, I was more apt to actually do the things that I like wanted to do that were productive because I also then had this like recharging time. So it's a bit of a rambly answer, but it is a really powerful way to protect your time for yourself and really enjoy it and make sure you don't give it away. Like you're kind of helping yourself protect yourself from yourself.
Kelly, I could tell that you're passionate about this subject. I'm sure my listeners can hear how passionate you are. So why don't you talk to us really about you and your life and what you value most out of your career and business?
Yeah, it's something that I candidly didn't give enough thought to until I was deciding to leave law. And I had wanted to be a lawyer since like sixth grade. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I thought a lot about like, what do I want my life to look like? How would work fit into that? Because I knew I wanted to keep working and I love working and contributing in that way. but I didn't know what it would look like. And so I was looking at a lot of career options, but the biggest priority comes down to my relationships, I've realized. Relationships with my partner, with my daughter, with my friends, with my extended family. So I always have been trying to structure a career that allows for flexibility to devote to those relationships. But I also want to throw out there that I don't think that is a one size fits all for everyone. Like, everyone has their own different values. And so what I like to do is help, as I was saying, like help people live their life in alignment with their values, not necessarily like my values or like my what works for me, which I do think is a flaw in a lot of time management stuff out there, is it's like this particular schedule works for me. So you should live this way as well. Like what I try and do is give a lot of flexibility so that you can design a life that aligns with your values and also shifts with you as our lives shift. Like as we learned with COVID, like our lives look very different in like 6 months, 12 months and things like that. And so we need a method that like adapts with us. But so those are my values when it comes to my personal life, is really trying to give that flexibility to be there in my relationships. And then in my career, it's really just helping women feel lighter, have a lighter mental load, feel more peace of mind, and to be able to be like present at home while also doing an awesome job at work.
This episode is brought to you by The Branded Career. The Branded Career is a coaching and consulting company helping individuals ditch meaningless work and land leadership roles with ownership, influence, and a significant salary increase. If you're ready to step into the next level of your career, but need help in articulating your value, developing your leadership skills, and positioning yourself for your dream role, reach out to us today. You can connect with us on LinkedIn at The Branded Career, or you can visit our website at www.thebrandedcareer.com. Can we talk a little bit more about your decision to leave law?
Yeah, of course.
Because I have a lot of clients and even just my audience who have gone down a specific career path, right? They got their bachelor's, they got their master's. So with each investment, it feels like they can't pivot away from something that's no longer serving them. So what were your emotions? I'm assuming you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm about to leave. Like, I studied for the bar. Like,
not only as I studied for the bar, I practiced for a little over 4 years in Boston. And then my husband got placed in California for a residency. So we moved to California to take the California bar again. And then like just a year later, I was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore.
Man.
It is a really tough decision. And I am probably like the last person anyone would have thought would have left law and started out on their own like entrepreneurial path. Mm-hmm. For me, I loved practicing in Boston. I was doing mostly patent litigation, really enjoyed it, worked with great teams of people, developed this like time management method over time, really had success with drawing boundaries and creating a life I was excited about. I moved to California and really had an opposite experience where legal environment in Southern California is a lot more contentious. It's just like really like scorched earth litigation, which really grates against my like Minnesota roots. So I wasn't enjoying that. And then I was working for a smaller firm and the workload was just crazy. And I did all the strategies that I teach on drawing boundaries and they weren't working. But what I mean by that is I always like to say that boundaries work even when they don't. In Boston, when I lay out boundaries, they were successful in the sense that they were respected. I got to work a job that I was excited about and get to live a life I was excited about. They also work when they don't, in the sense that at my firm in California, I lay out a lot of boundaries that were just completely ignored for whatever reason. I don't think these people were bad. It was just like everyone was slammed and that's just what was required. And it worked in the sense that it showed me like, it's time to go. Like, this firm isn't the right fit for me. It's not the right culture. But in addition, because of the regional like scorched earth litigation strategy in Southern California, I was like, if I go to a different firm, all my problems aren't going to be fixed. So because we're stuck in California for a couple of years because of my husband's job, I got to think of something else to do. And so I was really trying to be creative. I worked with a career coach and he was great. I wish I'd found someone more like you that I think like resonated with me more.
Yeah.
Understood my position more. This guy was like, get your career up, like your new business up and running for a long period of time before I leave. And I was like, I work like 6 to 11 at night, like 6 days a week. Like if I stay here, I'm never leaving. But I was trying to at least get the ball rolling on my business while I was still working. And I got a call that was like, can you take 20 depositions this summer on a case that I wasn't even on? Like, I knew nothing about it. And I was like, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, no. So I did a lot of like financial planning and forecasting of expenses and things like that, and found out that I could leave. And so I made that decision. But in terms of what to do next, it was really scary because, as I said, I'd wanted to be a lawyer forever in my mind.
Yeah.
And so I had to explore a lot of options. And I was really intrigued by this whole industry of like organization, but a lot of it is physical organization, like professional home organization. And so I dabbled in that and I was like, candidly, this is not my forte. Like, I'm not great at this.
You're not labeling things and putting things in baskets. And
I know. They're like using beautiful label makers. I'm like, can I just write on those?
Right.
I did realize I started working more with people in their offices and workflows in an office setting. And the more I started doing that, more I was like, it all comes back to time. And like, hey, there's this weird thing that I developed when I was a lawyer back here that I keep teaching people in piecemeal and it seems to really help them. Maybe that's what I should be teaching. And so I ping-ponged around in a lot of different things, like I think a lot of us do early on in business, before I really realizing like this is a sweet spot that not only is it something I truly like nerd out on talking about, but also there's a need for it and it's really welcome. And so it's been really fun.
Yes. So Kelly, we're about to wind down on this podcast, but I have a few more questions for you. What advice would you give someone that is trying to juggle it all? What's the first step that they should take?
We've talked a bit about trying to bring it all together in one place. And a con of a lot of time management advice is that they're like, just batch, just do these things. And they make it sound simple.
Mm-hmm.
It candidly isn't. Like then when you go to implement, you're like, yeah, that sounds simple. And then you go to implement, you really struggle with it. And just know that you're not alone in that. Like, I think actually time management is hard. It's something that we expect to be natural and good at easily. And it is hard. So I'm going to say some stuff, but just know that if you struggle with to implement, don't beat yourself up. Like this stuff is hard. But what I would encourage you to do is really start thinking of bringing it all together in one place. And I love a digital calendar. If you are a paper lover, I do understand. I have an article on my website of like the 10 reasons you should still go digital that you can check out if you want.
Yeah. Well, actually, we'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah. It's just that it explains like why a digital calendar really, I've even gotten my mom on it. So if she can do it, you can do it.
Okay.
But a good first step is to try and bring everything together in that one place. But before you start calendaring your to-dos, like those one-off to-dos that we put on a to-do list, get very clear on where the rest of your time is going. So all the personal things in particular, like the morning and the evening stuff we do, we often completely underestimate or just like don't even take into account when we're planning our days. And so I would encourage you to actually plot out like your sleep. When are you getting up in the morning? Do you have to walk your dog? Do you want to work out in the morning? How long does it take you to make breakfast and things like that? Use a digital calendar to plot these things out on like a daily recurring basis, but also know you can move them around. So like, I'm not saying like, and then every day at 6 a.m. you do this.
Yeah.
Move them around. But by getting these things out of your head and into visual blocks, you get more realistic about where your time is going and you get it out of your head. So it's like way less mental load. And that will give you a better idea of what is the container of available time I have to give to the more one-off stuff, because now I've factored in all the other stuff. And for a lot of my clients, I wouldn't say it's like a win feeling when you look at all the things you're doing in your personal life that you've never like really plotted out before. In some ways it can be, you're like, oh, now I understand why I'm overwhelmed. Like, mm-hmm. I do a lot. But then you're also better equipped to ask for help and get things off your plate with a partner or outsourcing or whatever it may be, when you realize like, this is why I felt overwhelmed and how do I alleviate some of this pressure, particularly on like the bookends of my day on the mornings and the evenings. So that's like a great place to start before you start time blocking your to-do list into your calendar.
Well, that helped me because definitely before this podcast, I wrote down all my to-do lists on a piece of paper. And I'm like, man, how am I going to get this done?
And then after you've kind of gotten clear on the container, take that to-do list. And first of all, know that everyone underestimates how long things take. So start plotting it out, but plot it out over time. Like you don't have to do it today. But if you're like, I know that I'm not going to do this thing until next weekend, like calendar it for next weekend and then don't stare at it on a to-do list for a whole week, having it stress you out when you know you're not going to do it for a whole week.
Right.
So that's the beauty of this, is that you can start kind of punting things out and know that you have protected time and you have that peace of mind. It'll get done, but it's not stressing you out and weighing over you from now until then.
Okay. So I love to ask my guests these two questions to close out the show. So what does success mean to you?
Success means to me being able to help women get empowered through time management strategies to live a life that lights them up while also doing it myself. I really want to walk the talk that I teach. And if I can do that with a profitable business while helping women like lift them up into this ability to enjoy life more, that is like my dream.
Okay. And because it's the Branded Career Podcast, I love to ask people to describe their brand in one word.
Integrity. Integrity to me is a big one, in that I think that for those who work in the online business space,
right,
there's a lot of strategy and a little bit of like some weird tactics going on. And I really like to operate from a place that feels like solid and with integrity to me. And so that's a big one. But also my goal is to help women live kind of what we were talking about, in alignment with their values and like with integrity of who they are. And so that kind of resonates with me when I think about what I want my business to be.
Love it. Well, Kelly, thank you so much. I learned a lot. I know my listeners learned a lot. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So I am at kellynolan.com, and I am active also on Instagram @_KellyNolan_. And thank you for having me, Melissa. This was really fun.
Of course. Of course. Like I said, you can't get rid of me now. All right, you all. Thank you for tuning in.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you like what you heard and you want to stay connected, please rate, comment, and subscribe so you don't miss out on transforming content. Remember, do one thing this week that gets you one step closer to your goal. Until next time, cheers to building your branded career.